Welcome to the Retzel Health Law Hotspot. Health Law Hotspot is a podcast for physicians and health professionals that covers the legal issues and trends that affect the healthcare industry.
Everyone, welcome to the Health Law Hotspot. I'm Erica Adler, shareholder and leader of the healthcare practice group at Retzel & Andrews. And today I'm joined by Mark Brodson, who's the president and designated managing broker of Resource Commercial Advisors. He focuses on helping physicians, dentists, and medical specialists secure the right space for their practices. And he works with investors to identify and procure medical office, industrial, and net lease properties for their portfolios. So welcome, Mark. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Erica. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic today because it's something that I think a lot of physicians, dentists, healthcare providers, and even the lawyers and advisors that work with them are not aware of. But essentially, you go and you help these healthcare professionals in terms of negotiating their leases, whether they're entering into a new lease, they're buying a practice and taking over a lease, or perhaps they're just coming up on renewal. And this is something that a lot of people don't even realize is a service that's out there that could save them money, get them a better deal, get them a longer lease arrangement. And I'm really fascinated by this idea because until recently, I wasn't really aware that this existed. And most importantly, it doesn't cost my clients anything when they use your services. So let's just jump right in. And why don't you tell us just a little bit about what you do and how you can help?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing you have to realize, Erica, is that healthcare tenants in today's day and age are the gold standard among tenants. Landlords are doing everything that they can to lure healthcare tenants into their buildings. Why? Because healthcare tenants tend to be long-term, very stable. They have steady cash flow and steady income. So therefore, they're a really good credit risk. And as a result, every landlord wants to get them. So what we do is we help physicians who are not well-versed in real estate terminology or signing leases. We help them unlock all of the value that is there. These landlords are willing to pay big dollars in terms of either build-out allowances, free rent, rent concessions. But unless you're skilled and adept at negotiating with the landlords, you're not going to be able to maximize the value that is there. And so what we do is we hold physicians' hands when we go in. We handle all the negotiations with the landlords, and we make sure that those physicians at the end of the day, by the time we're done, have gotten the absolute best deal possible.
So that makes sense. So do landlords welcome your involvement, or do they kind of get upset when they know a broker has been hired to get involved because maybe they just thought, you know, hey, I have a long-term relationship with this dentist and you and I can just do it alone. We don't need him. Or what's the usual reaction when you get involved?
Yeah, that is a great question. And frankly, a common misconception, right? Everybody thinks, well, if I go unrepresented without a broker, I'm going to save some money, right? Because the landlord doesn't have to pay my broker as a physician a fee. But that's really wrong. Basically, all landlords structure commission dollars into their financial analyses for the properties. So if they know that they have vacancies coming up, or if they know that they have leases that are coming up for renewal, they plan that the tenant is going to bring with them a broker. So really, if you as a physician don't bring a broker along in tow with you, two things happen. One, you don't get the proper representation. And remember that no matter what the landlord says, they are always out for their interests or the interests of their investors. And you need somebody representing you and who's out there for your interests. So if you don't bring a broker to the table, they just pocket those dollars. And so you might as well bring somebody along that is your advocate because essentially you're paying for it anyway. And actually, along the lines of how do the landlords react, I find that a lot of times they're actually relieved to have somebody like me sitting across the table from them, because I can very quickly guide and mentor my physician clients as to what they should do, how they should respond to landlord counters, whereas unrepresented physicians don't necessarily know how to respond. And that sometimes draws out the process unnecessarily.
Right. And I think these are business issues. So the difference between what you do and what the lawyer might do is really looking at the language of the contract, making sure there's legal protection. But we as lawyers, and I'm not a real estate lawyer, don't necessarily negotiate the business issues. I mean, some people might dabble in it, but you shouldn't expect your lawyer to really play that role unless it's something they claim to have an expertise in, which I don't think most of them do. Would you agree?
Yes, I totally agree. And this is a big difference. You know, many physicians are used to buying houses, right? So when you buy a house, you don't really involve an attorney until that contract is signed and you're in the 5-day review period. But because commercial real estate lawyers are much more expensive than residential, we've built this two-tiered system in to help us with negotiations. So as brokers, we're allowed by the state law to negotiate all the financial terms of the deal, and our fee is usually paid for by the landlord. So that doesn't cost the physician anything. We bring the attorney in to document everything. So as real estate professionals, we can do what's known as the LOI, the letter of intent, a completely non-binding document that enables us to go back and forth on terms with the landlord while incurring no cost to the client. However, once the LOI, letter of intent, is negotiated, that becomes the document that the attorney works off of in order to create the legal piece, which is the lease, or in the case of a renewal, it's a lease amendment, which is a document that's written to go above and beyond the existing lease that's already in place.
Right, that makes perfect sense. So you and I recently have been working on a common client, and we have a dentist who is acquiring a new practice, and there's still some time left on the lease from what I understand. When you're in that position and you're looking to either get an assignment of the lease or talk to the landlord directly and get a new lease, why would you bother going through the process of reaching out to the landlord? Should you just be happy to take assignment, or should you actually pursue a renegotiation? Well, what kind of gains could you possibly get?
Yeah, very good question. Well, first of all, Erica, thank you so much for the referral. Referrals are always appreciated, and we have a fantastic working relationship. But in answer to your question, there's a lot of complexity, particularly in a case when a dentist is buying a practice and there is a lease involved. So there's many different facets, more than we have time to talk, but I'll just highlight a couple of them. For a dentist that is looking to purchase a practice, if they're taking a loan, their financial institution is going to require that they have at least 10 years or more of what we call leasehold rights. Leasehold rights are what enable that dentist or physician to be in that space legally. And if they have a 10-year lease, or if they have a 5-year lease and a 5-year option, the landlord doesn't have control over that space for the next 10 years. Why is that important? Well, when dental practices are evaluated, the actual physical plant, the office, is making up about half the value of that practice. So the bank that is lending wants to make sure that that is a long-term, stable piece of the equation. Now, there are a couple of ways to go about it. So in the case of your client, Erica, they came to me and said, we want to sign a 10-year lease. And my comment to them was, well, I don't know that you necessarily want to do that. You can achieve the same goal with your lender by taking a 5-year lease and a 5-year option. Now, what's the difference? With a 10-year lease, the physician is legally and financially obligated to pay rent for 10 full years. With a 5-year and a 5-year option, the legal and financial obligation only extends 5 years, and yet the tenant sometime in year four has the opportunity to exercise that option, or in our case, we negotiate. We almost never take options as they are. We will negotiate the next 5 years at that time. But let's face it, things change. Practices evolve. Sometimes they grow and need to expand. Sometimes they don't do as well as the dentist thought when they first bought the practice. So we want to preserve flexibility as much as possible. Now, the other thing I'll tell you about renewal is...
Oh, right. I was going to ask about that too.
There is a ton... People don't realize this, but when they go to renew a lease, there is a ton of value that is locked up in that renewal. So think about it as if the landlord is approaching the dentist, they would love them to just sign the renewal as is. But if you do that as a physician, you're leaving lots of dollars on the table. Think about the alternative from the landlord standpoint. If you as a physician don't renew your lease, they have to vacate the space. They've got to put it on the market. They have to incentivize a new tenant with tenant improvement dollars or free rent or lower than market rent. There's a lot of cost there. It's much cheaper for a landlord to simply renew a tenant in place. And as a result, they are oftentimes willing to open up their chest of options financially to entice you as the tenant to stay. And the best way to unlock those options and the value that is there is to work with a broker who understands your situation, understands where the landlord's at, and then negotiates an agreement that works best for both parties.
Do you see anything happening differently now coming out of COVID in terms of what you're getting? How does it compare to before COVID? Are there better deals on the table, or is it pretty much the same as always?
So it's an interesting question. And if you and I were sitting here talking about regular office tenants, like marketing tenants or law firms or CPA firms, my answer to you would be there's lots of incentives, there's lots of space, firms are downsizing. In the case of medical, however, it's a very specialized arena with respect to real estate. And in general, we're still in a situation where there's more demand than supply for good medical office buildings. So unfortunately for physicians, we haven't seen a huge downward pressure on rents simply because medical space is in huge demand. That being said, there are some things that we are looking at in the light of what happened in COVID, right? So we're trying to have sick and non-sick waiting rooms. We're trying to figure out partitioning systems between the reception area and the waiting area. And we're doing a lot of COVID-friendly things, such as making sure that the HVAC systems are upgraded to the point where you have the constant airflow and circulation that you need to ensure safety. So I won't say that things haven't changed, but in terms of rental rates on the medical side, we're definitely seeing either stable rents or upward pressure just due to the heavy demand and still relative lack of supply.
So there, what you're saying is that there are not a lot of spaces already currently built out to be medical or dental offices, but I would assume there's quite a lot of space available if you wanted to start from scratch and negotiate with a landlord to build out some new space, correct?
Yes, and remember I started my talk by saying that the landlords are really clamoring to get medical tenants in there. So one of the things that we're seeing is that you have a surplus of conventional office space and a shortage of medical space. So landlords that have a lot of parking, and typically a medical space will need a minimum of 4 parking spaces per 1,000, usually 5 or more. But landlords who have office buildings with significant parking are in the process of beginning to convert those buildings into medical space. And yes, so there are deals to be had, particularly if you're one of the first couple of medical tenants into a new space. And we're seeing, by the way, on some good.
So I see, so what you're saying is, it's a good anchor kind of tenant for a building to have, and then other people find that attractive once there's a medical or dental office in there. then it becomes, you know, more attractive to the second or third practice to come in there.
Got Absolutely. It. If you're a large, you know, 8 to 10,000 square foot or even larger medical practice, we have a lot of options for you in terms of what we can do. We can, again, go to a conventional office landlord and convince him about the conversion. The other thing that we're doing, and this is where the investment side of my business plays in as well, if there's a building that if we can't find lease space, we'll go out and find a building that's got vacancy, and I'll go to one of my investors, have them buy the building. They'll do all the build out for the tenant. And that's how we're really accelerating this process of converting conventional offices to medical offices.
That's really interesting. And, you know, I see a lot of just super gorgeous dental and medical practices opening. And I'm always surprised by the luxury that they appear to have, you know, in terms of the decor, et cetera, very different from the kind of practices, I guess, that I go to or that, you know, I grew up going to. So we're really seeing a different kind of practice now that looks like it costs a lot more. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing landlords pouring more money in, or are doctors and dentists just paying more rent to get that look? What is the trend that you're seeing?
Yeah, very good question. Well, oftentimes I joke that we're trying to rid the world of ugly dental offices one doctor at a time. So you're absolutely right. Those big, beautiful build outs that you're seeing come with a hefty price tag. We're usually seeing, depending on what the level of finishes are, anywhere between build outs that are running anywhere between $150 and $200 per square foot. So to translate that into real dollars, if you have a 3,000 square foot office at $150 a square foot, that's going to cost you $450,000 to build that out. And again, if it's 200 bucks a foot, you know, you're looking at 600,000. So these are big price tags. So how do we pay for them? Landlords will typically not come up with the full $180 or $200 a square foot. Those numbers, even on a 20-year lease, don't pencil out for them. So what we're seeing is the landlords are offering what we call TIs, or tenant improvement dollars. And we're usually seeing, in a medical office capacity, those tenant improvement allowances are ranging between $50 and $70 a foot. So if you're staring down the barrel of a $450,000 build out and the landlord contributes $50 a foot on that 3,000 square foot, they're going to pay $150,000. You're still going to be, as the physician, on the hook for $300,000. Now, there are a couple of ways that we deal with that delta. One way is some landlords will, as you correctly suggested, Erica, amortize the extra cost into the rent. So in other words, if your base rent started out for that space at being $20 a foot, they might raise the rent to $25 or $28 a foot over the life of a 10-year lease. That's how the landlord can get paid back. The other alternative would be, and this is what we typically represent, because remember, landlords are not banks and their money is expensive. So you might be able to borrow money from a bank at say 3 or 3.5%. The landlord's gonna charge you 7 to 9%. So we always recommend using one of our medical lenders, letting them come to the table. And I will tell you that just like landlords are clamoring for tenants, banks are tripping over themselves to offer great incentives to medical professionals to help them with office build out. So, and we, while we don't do the lending ourselves, we have many different bankers that we bring to the table to help complete those transactions for our clients.
Yeah, that's really interesting. All right, so just to kind of sum things up here, when you have a lease that's up for renewal, you are buying or taking over a practice, and there's a lease in place that you could renegotiate, or you're entering into a brand new lease for space, all of those present opportunities where someone like you can help get them the best possible deal, correct?
Yes.
And how long does that process take? So does it add, like if somebody wants to buy a practice and get it done quickly, does it add extra month or two, or what are we talking about?
Yeah. So if the practice is already built out and it's existing, it could add a month or two, sometimes a little longer if the landlord is not really responsive. But we do everything we can to work in lockstep with the business transactions attorney so that we don't keep the process from getting derailed. And in some cases, it doesn't always make sense to negotiate the lease before it's being done. So in the case of your client, Erica, that's a situation where an associate is buying out the practice from their dentist. So in our strategy call this week, we talked to your client about, hey, what we ought to do is let's close the transaction first, and then we, behind the scenes, will go and negotiate with the landlord. And there's a definite method to our madness there. The reason we're doing that is because there's a very close relationship between that associate and the dentist who they're buying out. They're going to negotiate a price for that transaction that's based on the way everything is today. It's based on a rent being up here. So once they close on that transaction, we're going to negotiate the rent down, which is actually going to create value for your client who's buying that practice. Now, what we want to do is negotiate the lease after the fact to keep the value that we're creating transparent, because otherwise, if the doctor who's selling the practice knew that we were going to get these rent concessions, they would tend to want to build that into the purchase price of the practice. So there's many moving parts here that all have to consider. And I want to just mention one last thing as well. So one thing that physicians who are contemplating a transition, if you are starting up a new practice or if you're going to move your practice to a new office, you should really be aware of how the construction piece is going to be managed, because a lot of brokers will come along, work with them to get a lease signed, and then as soon as they get their commission check, they walk away. One thing that's different about our firm is during COVID, we built an entire practice built around project management. So when the lease is signed, that's not the end for us, that's actually the beginning point. We'll then help doctors go out and identify the right contractor, identify all the different pieces from moving to marketing. And then our team conducts weekly meetings, and we have a licensed architect and designer on staff to basically carry that whole process through from start to finish. Because let's face it, as a busy physician, they have time to do one thing and one thing only, which is run their practice and see their patients, right? Whereas we'll come in and take all of the real estate work off of their plate, manage it, and make sure that they can just turn the key and effectively move into their new office seamlessly.
Yeah, really helpful. I know that a lot of people listening will, you know, have their eyes opened as to, you know, what's available out there. I had no idea that some of these services were even being offered. So I think that's really great. For anyone out there who has any questions, you're renewing a lease, you're buying a practice, there's a lease there, don't handle it yourself. Talk to Mark and see if he can help you. And you may be surprised by, you know, what you're able to gain that otherwise you wouldn't have been able to. And I think that's excellent. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this information. I think it's super helpful. Do you have any last thoughts you want to share?
The only thing I would share is this, that if you are contemplating making a move, it's better to start earlier. We're seeing lots of long lead times, you know, 12 to 16 weeks just to get doors. And in the case of dental equipment, some of those vendors are having 20 to 28 week lead times. So my message is, don't delay, start right away. And we're happy to dive in and help you with any piece of the process that you may need. And even if you decide not to move forward, we're happy to just schedule an initial call with you to strategize about where you're at today and where you want to be and help you bridge the gap to get there.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone. This has been Mark Brodson and I'm Erica Adler. And thank you for joining us on the Health Law Hotspot. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.
The Retzel Health Law Hotspot is made available by the firm and its attorneys for educational purposes and to provide general information, not to provide specific legal advice. Use of the Retzel Health Law Hotspot does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the firm or any of its attorneys. The Retzel Health Law Hotspot should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice, and you should contact an attorney in your state about any legal needs or questions you may have.